Hey, 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 you know me. It's Dr. Cheryl Bryant-Bruce, MD, the Celebrity Doc, and you are here with Chatters That Matter. Let's talk about it. We are here to educate, entertain, and inform you. This is your show. A little housekeeping, anything that you hear that is medically related, I am a bona fide medical doctor and do not take it as medical advice. If you hear anything that applies to you that piques your interest, please take that information to your personal physician. Today, we have a fabulous guest with us, someone who is well known throughout the Las Vegas community. I have with me here today, Robert Twix Taylor.
How you doing? Thank you, doctor. I appreciate it.
Doing very well and so glad to have you here to, you know, finally get you on with us for this interview.
Yes.
So let's start out with you telling us a little bit about yourself and why we brought you here tonight.
Awesome. Well, thank you. Well, my name is Robert Taylor, known as Twix. I'm born and raised in North Las Vegas. I'm actually a candidate for North Las Vegas' Ward 2, which is the exact same ward I was born and raised in. There's a neighborhood called the Regal Estates. We call it a historic neighborhood. So I was born in that neighborhood. I am a licensed barber. I'm a barbershop owner, a franchise owner of barbershops and salons. I am on the Urban Chamber of Board of Commerce. I'm on the board for National Action Network. I'm the vice chair at Cane Springs High School, and I'm the clear choice for Ward 2.
Absolutely. And you also have a very interesting establishment that I had the opportunity to see. So let's not negate talking about that one, too.
Okay, so that's still in the works. It's not open yet. But I have a jazz tavern.
Mm-hmm.
I'll put the name out there once it opens up. But I have a jazz tavern, and it's going to be actually dedicated for people who love culture.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what country, what continent, what province, what island you're from. I will have a flag to represent you. I'm trying to have different drinks to represent every different continent in there, so don't matter where you're from, you'll feel comfortable. And I have over 300 books in there that deal with finance. So when you do hear the name, you'll see why I mixed the two together. But
right.
It has to do with learning about financial literacy and how you could grow money for your family.
Right. And I actually had the opportunity of seeing the location, and I can't wait for it to open because, I mean, if for no other reason, there's just plenty of eye candy in there. If you're interested in art at all, there's all kinds of art from all over, as he said, different cultural representations, different ages of art. So mm-hmm. if you're an art buff that likes old art, or, you know, you're into the, you know, the Art Nouveau, whatever you are hankering for, it is in that location, and it is just, I mean, it's just so interesting to look at everything. It's eclectic. It puts you in the mind of an old-fashioned speakeasy. So this is going to be a hot spot when it opens. So I really can't wait.
You know what, Doc? I love this crowd. I love this energy. I'm going to say the name right now. Everybody else I've been giving a hush-hush to. But it's but it's called Foreign Exchange Lounge. And that's why it's a mixture of culture and finance. Foreign exchange, foreign as in everything but America.
Mm-hmm.
I'm American, so we already there, right?
Absolutely.
And exchange aspect when it comes to the stock market, that's where the finance comes from. Because I do a lot of keynote speaking and a lot of meetings. And a lot of times when it comes to teaching about finance, people are whispering.
Right.
They're in a corner because nobody wants to talk about money out loud. But every day we're working to do what? Get money to take care of our family to get a better quality of life. So why not have a place that's geared for that, to where you could come, see about your culture, and talk about finance in the same place? And I feel like I'm filling in a void by having that. So make sure you go to Foreign Exchange Lounge. Once it opens, please welcome. And if you're not from America, I really need you there, because I need you to tell me how good did we do representing your country, your continent, your island, okay? And then give me heads up what we can add.
Right, absolutely. And I mean, you know, I see this as being a place where all nationalities can come together and really commune about what's going on in Vegas.
Yes.
And of course, you're very much interested in, as you said, you're a grassroots politician. Mm-hmm. You're very much interested in what's going on the ground here.
Yes.
And, you know, that's an important part of what we're doing here. This is the Las Vegas Culture Center.
Yes.
And it is also a grassroots operation. This is one of our sponsors. And it is a grassroots operation, too, bringing the culture, the music, the art all together here. And, you know, different artists in different areas coming together and talking about how to promote the culture in Las Vegas.
And I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, definitely it will all coincide together.
When you have a culture without, when you have culture without community, it's like having a tree without roots.
Absolutely.
You know, and I appreciate this tree right here that you guys are actually putting in place to give us oxygen. So thank you for that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, let's talk about your role in the community, because you've been working hard in the community for not just this campaign, but for decades. And this is your second campaign,
right? It's my second campaign. Yes,
okay.
Ma'am.
Tell us about the first campaign and how this one's different.
I appreciate that. So the very first campaign was in 2022. I ran for mayor for my first run.
Okay.
Yep. I ran for mayor to fill in that void. Mm-hmm. I felt personally, being born and raised in this city and being an entrepreneur, started off in North Las Vegas, I didn't see the city council actually endorsing small businesses like they should have.
Mm-hmm.
And for those who don't know, small businesses hire more than 50% of the public job workforce in America.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not promoting small businesses, you're not promoting the people, right? And they're coming up with in the past, they have had laws and ordinances, to me, that hinder small businesses.
Right.
So I said, you know what? I'm not going to complain. I'm going to run.
Okay.
See, no one can complain if you're not doing two things. If you're not helping someone run who's about the community, or if you're not running yourself, you have no reason to complain.
Right.
You know, we always say if you don't vote, you don't have no voice. No, if you don't help, you don't have a voice. It's more than just voting, because you can be voting for the wrong person. That's why you need to do your due diligence and Google people. See what they did before they ran. Because once you get in office, of course, you're going to have money that's allocated from taxpayers' money to do these wonderful things. So I don't want to hear you brag about all these things you've done when you were the assemblyman, the councilman, the governor, the mayor. What did you do before you ran? Because if you're doing things for the people before you run, when you get in office, you'll do them more.
Now, this is true, because, I mean, one of the things that we do see, and, you know, we're watching a big presidential campaign going on right now, and everybody's promising the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know good and well that they cannot deliver the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the stuff they're even promising is not even within their realms as the president. Because unfortunately, most Americans don't understand how politics works, how the presidency works, and what is and is not in the power of the presidency.
Yes.
If people understood politics, mm-hmm. then they could read between the lines of what's being promised. Candidates are promising things that are just outlandish. And everyone's going, yeah, I'm voting for this person because mm-hmm. they're what?
Right.
Don't you realize they can't even do that?
Now, and let me dig deep into that. That's a very important segue for me to explain this too. In your wheelhouse, the term wheelhouse means in your power and the things you can't control. It's important to understand what the candidate's job is. That way you can hold them accountable. That's why personally I believe you'll hear people say, vote for me, but they don't tell you what their job is per se, because once they're voted on and they're in there, you can hold them accountable. So mm-hmm. allow me to hold myself accountable to let you know what a councilman does or a councilwoman. A councilman in any city is over planning and zoning, right, and ordinances. Now, that's important because when it comes to the streets, you know, you got to call your local councilman to get something fixed on the street.
Right.
If you want a stop sign, you want a stop light, you got to talk to your councilman or councilwoman for that.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to helping get grants for nonprofits, you could go to the council meeting and say, hey, I have this amazing nonprofit. It's for kids with this. It's for seniors with this. It's for that. And the council vote on it and allocate that grant money to you to help the community. Right. So it's important to have the right council person in play. And allow me to say something I've never heard on any interview. The reason so important to vote for your council person is this. A lot of people don't know this. Every council person is able to appoint a planning commissioner. Let me explain the importance of that. North Las Vegas has four council members, right? If you have four council members who are not about the community, that means they appointed four people to the planning commission who are not about the community because that's their friends, right? Because of that, you will never get things like this and structures like this built. When you get certain structures built, you have to go to the planning commission and ask, hey, I want to open up this nonprofit for the arts, for culture. They have to say yes. So once they say yes, it goes to the council. But guess what? If the planning commissioner says no, they said no because the council members who appointed them told them to say no. That's why it's important to understand who's your council person, because that council person, if they're a good person, chances are the planning commission that they appointed will be good people too. So imagine we change the city around and we get people who care about the city. Now you have council members who are appointing people in the planning commission who all are about the community. That's why it's important. And that's how you hold me accountable. And that's how from this day forward, you see in this video or hearing this interview, you hold people accountable.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, speaking on accountability, I have a question because something came to my attention that just didn't resound well with me. The council people, do they have to live or should they live in the community?
Yes. Not only do they have to live in the city, you have to live in your ward. North Las Vegas has four wards. So that means they have four different council members and one mayor. It will always be an odd number because everyone has one vote. That way it'll never be a tie, right? So you could say the mayor is a tiebreaker. Technically, in the state of Nevada, for those who don't know, the term is weak mayor system. We have a weak mayor system. So even though I ran for mayor, I understood that the mayor does not have more power than the council. The mayor just gets paid more money than the council. The mayor is only one vote. The council has one vote. To go back, I ran for mayor because I knew this. I know most people don't understand the roles of elected officials. So if I'd have ran for councilman and didn't win, no one would care. You run for mayor, you're able to sit down and speak to the news and eloquently explain why you're running. And now people understand, you know what you're talking about. So thus, if you don't win that mayor run, you run for council, people say, hey, I remember he ran for mayor. He cares, he knows, or she knows what they're talking about. That's why I did that, so you know. Okay. And now the seven candidates who ran for mayor, I was the youngest by far. I was the only one with no political experience. Now the seven candidates, I should have came in seven. I came in three out of 800 votes of my friend, Senator Pat Spearman. So imagine that, my very first time running, and I came in right behind a well-seasoned vet who's actually a real vet in politics, right? That shows you that people want something different. And I know they want something different. People don't want to hear these same promises of things that you cannot deliver. People want to know, what are you running for? They want to know if you're running for assembly. Assembly is what? You make the laws for the state. That is your job. So now you hear somebody running for assembly and they're telling you all these promises. Wait a minute, that doesn't have anything to do with the laws. So what are you saying? That goes back to holding people accountable.
Right, absolutely. So one of the things that happens with politics right now is that there is a lot of mudslinging and dirt throwing, and it is an opportunity for people to detract from what it is they're really doing. And what I've noticed is that most of these people aren't telling us what their platform is. They're just telling us why the other person is awful.
Right.
So let's talk about your particular platform.
Yes. So my platform is community, commerce, and change. Community, I'm from the community. For over 20 years, I've done mentorship from elementary, junior high schools, and colleges for free. I speak about being an entrepreneur and changing your life, like I spoke about earlier, being financial literacy, you know. That's one of my things. I've been doing free haircuts for back to school for over 20 years, giving families a break because it's hard times right now. And the last thing a parent needs to do besides buying school clothes is get their child's haircut. So I've been doing that for years also.
And you're a seasoned entrepreneur.
Yes, ma'am. Nonprofit. Let me say this. This is not a nonprofit. I'm doing this. This is not because of my church, not because of my fraternity or nonprofit. I do all these things from my heart and from my pocket.
Okay. And if you don't mind telling our audience, how old are you right now?
I just turned 47 years old a few days ago.
When did you have your first business?
When I was 23 years old, 300 East Lake Mead, Fata Mall Barbershop. And from then I've had in the past six barbershops, 5 salons, the first black-owned tattoo studio called Tatted Up, which is right down the street on Miller Parkway, tailor-made photography, brand new used clothing store where people donate their clothes, and we sell it for really, really cheap price. You could afford it. And for those who had a job interview or a special occasion, we just give you the clothes. You don't got to write a note. You don't have to tell us a story. I could just tell, you know, if you need it, here, no charge, you have it. So I've done that for years, and I have a business with my fiance called Best Rapper Alive, and that's rapper with a W. Mm-hmm. And that is a vinyl business. We wrap commercial windows, and we wrap cars, automobiles, and pretty much anything that can be wrapped, we wrap. And I've been doing that for over 10 years also.
And I've seen some of your work, and I do want my car wrapped.
I got you.
right?
I got you.
So, you know.
Oh, I'm back to the platform, because I want people to get it. Mm-hmm. So that's the community aspect. When it comes to commerce, changing the trajectory of North Las Vegas, bringing in big business. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no reason that EDC makes millions of dollars and hundreds and thousands of people drive past our city and not a dollar is spent in our city. Mm-hmm. And I feel like for our city council not to hone in on that and be like, hey, they're coming. Let's have these opportunities for these small businesses, who hire the majority of the people. Right? That's how you change the sea tax of your city, bringing in more money. So that comes to the commerce aspect, making smart decisions. And change in general, someone in the city council who cares about the people, who has sympathy and empathy. But, like I mentioned, I was one of the 7 candidates for mayor. I'm a business owner. Mm-hmm. I know how to delegate. I know how to relate. Mm-hmm. And that changes everything.
I mean, I think that that's really going to be important for the people in Las Vegas, for the community of North Las Vegas, in the coming few years, because, you know, for those who don't know, Las Vegas is getting ready to see some huge changes, because if you didn't know, Hollywood is moving this way. Yes. It is leaving LA and it is coming to Las Vegas. There's a bullet train coming in, and that is going to move massive numbers of people in this direction.
Yes.
If Las Vegas hasn't fully established its culture and, you know, hasn't fully rounded up as a community, taking care of not just the businesses, but the people within the community, we're going to get lost in the swell that comes in.
And that has happened in other places. Mm-hmm. I saw a documentary, and if I'm wrong, I'm only reciting what I saw in the documentary, but it's about Jamaica. Mm-hmm. And it was talking about how there's pretty much only one area of an island that's open to the public. Mm-hmm. So the rest, if you look at Jamaica and look at it as a pie, about 90% of the pie, the edge, is privatized, where 10% is open for the public. So imagine if you're born and raised in Jamaica and your whole life you was able to go anywhere in the island, but now you can't resort. You only got this little minuscule place you can go to. Las Vegas will be the same way. If you don't understand what's happening in Las Vegas, add it our baseball team, add it our NBA team, add it that Apex is opening up. North Las Vegas will probably be bigger than Las Vegas once Apex opens up, because that goes to the mountains. If you don't have your foot in the soil right now, it will be like that, to where you've been priced out of the Strip. A lot of locals are already priced out on the Strip already. And I correlate that to Jamaica. I'm like, wow, I got to pay $40 to park. We got to do this. We got to do this to even go to an event. I don't want to go. Right. That's why it's important to have the right leaders in leadership, because those people are the ones who like, no, we're not doing this. Those people are the ones who are the assembly who say, no, we're making laws to where we can't do this. That way we don't end up like that. That's why it's important.
Okay. Now, this show focuses on health.
Yes.
And health is not just physical health. We have emotional, mental, physical, financial, social, spiritual. All of these things are included in what health is. So let's talk about financial health. You know, Las Vegas has a fairly low wage. You know, everybody thinks about the opulence. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we see the casinos and the glitz and everything else. Mm-hmm. But as far as industry, there's not a tremendous amount in Las Vegas, and those casinos and the tourism and resorts are the major funders.
Yes.
You know, tourism and resorts, casinos, and medical. And even medical isn't a huge one here. I mean, because medical, we're going to touch
on that
too. And
that's something I'm trying to change too also. It's part of my platform. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
You're right.
Yeah, we're going to touch on that too. So as part of your platform, What are you proposing to do to kind of help with this financial situation so that the people who are here in Las Vegas, mm-hmm. whose jobs basically center around casinos mm-hmm. that aren't necessarily paying mm-hmm. huge amounts of money, how do we help those people stay in the life game financially
right.
here when, you know, folks are coming in from L.A. and, you know, Hollywood, and they're coming with big money. Mm-hmm. So how do we protect the people who are basically holding mm-hmm. Las Vegas up and make sure they get their fair share?
So I'll give you a few ways. And once again, speaking on Wheelhouse, there are some things you can't do when you're elected, but there's other people that you could actually support mm-hmm. to get those things. Mm-hmm. And people need to speak more about that. So one thing in North Las Vegas that I totally support is this. I don't believe these outside companies who are buying our houses that will never be for sale, right, should have the right to buy purchase so many houses.
Right.
It should be a small amount of houses that they could buy. And other states and other cities have had ordinances to where that's possible.
Mm-hmm.
So because it's possible, it's probable,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's one thing we need to do. As a councilman, I could do an ordinance on that, but we need our assembly, right, a state assembly who talk about they want to do that,
right.
to do it. And then as councilman, I will back them. I will fly to the Capitol and I'll support that. That's one. Two, me being a barber and owning a barbershop, all I do is talk to everyone, from preachers to teachers to people who are homeless to millionaires every day.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that, I think that gives me a big insight on what's going on with people's lives day to day.
Finger on your pulse.
Right. And once they did the tax on tips, that ruined Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
That was the worst thing. I'm looking at the camera. That was the worst thing to ever happen to Las Vegas. Because now they're telling you, yeah, you should make $40 tips this hour. So we're going to tax you for $40 tips. That's not even legal. And I don't even know how it took that long for it to happen. And I don't know how it took two candidates running for president to bring up this issue for us in Nevada to take that serious.
Mm-hmm.
We have to stop being in the back and being trailblazers, especially when it comes to our own quality of life. Our elected officials who have been elected officials right now should have stopped that a long time ago. So I totally support that. The tax on tips, once that changes, once they get rid of the tax on tips, that will change everything. Now people will want to be valet drivers. They want to do all these great jobs we have at hotels. My parents were proud Teamsters. Flamingo Hilton, my mom, and my dad, the Stardust in MGM.
Mm-hmm.
So I grew up as a casino baby, you know, and I see the difference of the 80s and now to where you can work at a casino, make a great living, pay off your house, pay off your car, and send your kids to college. Now you work at a casino, you barely get paid rent.
Right.
Even buying a home is out of the question. North Las Vegas, right. the average home is $415,000. To own a home, you got to have 25 to 28% of your income go to your mortgage, meaning you have to make at least $105,000 a year.
Right.
So how can you be a single person and even afford a house? That doesn't make sense. We're pricing ourselves out.
Yes.
It's like we're eating on ourselves and eventually we'll be nothing.
Absolutely.
So we have to change that. And this is the conversation that we need to have. All these other conversations, that's okay. But in Las Vegas, a lot of times, you know, I'm totally involved with the presidential election,
mm-hmm.
right? I had people at my shop today promoting the presidential election and get out to vote. So
right.
I want you to know that. But your local election will change your life faster than the presidential election.
Absolutely.
And for those who don't know, we have how many presidents? 46. How many presidents didn't start locally? Only 5. Think about that. So out of 46 presidents, only 5 didn't start locally, meaning what? 41 presidents were just like me, who ran for assembly, councilman, school board trustee, senator, right? And then they worked their way up to run for president. So if
right.
you follow your local candidates now, by the time they run for president, you don't have to YouTube them and do your due diligence, because you can say, I know Robert Taylor. I saw what he did in North Las Vegas. I saw how he helped out ordinance. I saw how he changed the streets. I saw how he gave nonprofits the money and they changed our community. Yes, I'm voting for this person when they run for president. I'm not saying I'm running for president, but I'm giving that example because most local candidates run for president.
Right, right. Absolutely.
How does that matter?
Hey.
Can I get a snap? We got an audience. It's a live audience. We can do this now.
Absolutely.
Okay. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Okay. So on that note, let's just take a little bit of a shift.
Come
because
on.
The other concern that I have coming in, you know, I'm a physician. Mm-hmm. And the minute I walked into Vegas, everybody said, oh, my God,
right.
We've got another one.
Right.
Because there's a shortage of physicians here. There's a shortage of medical care. And I do have a chronic illness mm-hmm. that I have to deal with. And yet I'm taking my care back to Sacramento mm-hmm. to remain with my specialist because I've been told that the care isn't sufficient mm-hmm. to meet my needs here. Talk to me about
Allow me to jump on that. Like I mentioned earlier, by me being a barber, I'm privy to have conversations with different experts who have different careers.
Mm-hmm.
With that being said, one of my clients sells medical equipment to doctors.
Right.
I asked him why, I don't want to say the doctors we have out here are not good,
mm-hmm.
but I asked him, what is the problem with us getting the best doctors? And he said something that I heard of, but I didn't correlate this with the job market. He said that Nevada has one of the highest insurance rates for doctors due to the malpractice lawsuits.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that, when doctors want to move to Vegas, they see how much the insurance costs. I'm like, I'm not moving out there.
Right.
Because it doesn't make sense.
Right.
That's when it comes to our elected officials to somehow come up with a law to with these insurances. That way, the rate won't be so high. Once that happened, everybody wants to come to Las Vegas. So think about that. Let's use our common sense. When people don't want to come to Vegas, it has to deal with something financially. Because people are cool with the heat, long as you got AC, right?
Right.
So that right. So that being the case, that's a reason why we don't have some of the best doctors due to that high insurance rate. It's something that I'll keep speaking on. Once you ring a bell, you can't unring it. Your
that's
audience
true.
Members have heard that now. If they didn't know that, now they know it. Now they could tell someone else. That's how the change happens. So that's one thing. Two, to bring it back to North Las Vegas, I don't know anyone who wants, sad to say, I don't know anyone who wants to have a baby in North Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
I know of two people where the mother of the child passed away in the hospital in North Las Vegas.
That's not good.
That's not good.
That's not acceptable.
And it's not acceptable. And because of that, people will go to Centennial, other hospitals out in North Las Vegas to have a child.
Mm-hmm.
To kind of bring two and two together, I went to Tijuana a few years ago,
mm-hmm.
right, with my fiance. And they build these two towers. One's called the Quartz. I forgot the name of it's a medical building, but it's a okay. Quartz and a medical building. They're both two black towers next to each other. When I tell you those two buildings changed Tijuana, why? Because the medical building on every level has something for everything you can mention when it comes to your health, from teeth to plastic surgery to cancer, everything's in that building. And the next building is where people stay at. And in between, they have fine dining restaurants. Because of that, now in Tijuana, it has changed Tijuana. Why can't North Las Vegas have that? Why hasn't everybody wants to come to Las Vegas? I don't know why Las Vegas in general, North Las Vegas or Henderson, has thought about, hey, you know what? Let's build a real medical industry area where we also have plastic surgery.
Medical tourism.
Medical tourism.
Mm-hmm.
People are coming to Vegas anyway. You have all these things, we could change it. So these are things I will keep speaking about to make a difference. But there's different layers of problematic issues that we just talked about. But
absolutely.
That's why. Those are things I'm focused on. On my mailer that I mailed out to people, I mentioned that. Having a cultural competent mm-hmm. medical center. Culturally competent. What's good for you may not be good for me. You know, as different races, all we are different variants, if people don't understand that.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
And every variant is different.
Every variant is different.
Doesn't mean you're good or bad. We're just different because we're different variants. So we might be susceptible to other things others won't be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and mm-hmm. vice versa. So because of that, when you have doctors who are culturally competent, they know how to diagnose you better. You know, when you have
right.
more women physicians, they know how to diagnose a woman better because they are a woman, if
right.
that makes sense.
Right.
And et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, that cultural competency, because, you know, we say, okay, well, the racial thing, the black disparity mm-hmm. in health, that's very real. But mm-hmm. cultural competency even
for everyone,
the majority, because, you know, within the majority, it is not homogeneous.
Right.
I mean, you know, you have different ethnicities within the majority populations,
right.
and with people coming from different parts of the world, they are faced with different things. You know, some people have certain ailments, blood diseases that other people don't have, different types of cancer that affect different groups.
Yes.
So we have to pay attention to all of that.
Yes. And I want to give kudos to you and everyone in the health field in general, all the nurses, everyone. I went to school to be a CNA. I did my training at St. Rose Dominican mm-hmm. Hospital.
Okay.
So I know it's a very challenging role. I also know that right now it's the most people we've ever had retiring mm-hmm. at a medical field right now. And we need you. For those who are considering being in the medical field, we need you. And please don't take any of this interview, me talking down on our doctors. You know, I'm just saying we do need more doctors out here. And we do...
quality doctors.
Yeah, we're growing. Mm-hmm. Las Vegas used to be a little place in the dirt for gambling. Now we have community. And as our audience, you know, we are multicultural.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we Absolutely. Speak different languages. We have different religions. We have different ways of thinking. But we all are one.
Absolutely.
So with that being said, we need to have the police department, the medical department, all these different all these facilities and careers help the people out.
Absolutely. You know,
and understand us.
And then speaking of the people, kind of the final thing that I kind of want to talk about is a problem that is nationwide mm-hmm. and growing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've all discussed it at some point in time. Let's talk about the problem of homelessness.
Yeah, I knew that. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
So... once again, like I mentioned earlier, if a person can't afford to buy a house, that means you have to rent. And when you're renting and your rent keeps going up, eventually it's like musical chairs.
Right.
Right? So when the music runs out, you have nowhere to stay. So I always say when it comes to homeless first, you have to divide the people who are of our homeless or misplaced population who are able to work.
Right.
Who are able to work? Let's get them to work.
Yes.
Who has mental problems?
Mm-hmm.
Let's help them out mentally. And for those who don't know, America is a right to fail
mm-hmm.
country, meaning you could be homeless if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Some people, I had a client. Well, he's like a mentor of mine who became a client, but he was homeless. And I will always try to do things to help him out. And he told me, he said, stop, Twix. He said, I want to be homeless.
Well, and
you know what I'm saying? A lot of people don't hear conversations. Like, he's like, I want to be homeless. He told me, if you want to help us out, you go down and you buy a bed. He said, a lot of homeless people have never slept on a bed in years.
Mm-hmm.
He said, at the time, I think beds were $2, whatever. He said, the facility he went to was free to stay there, but a bed cost $2. He said, if you guys want to help the homeless out, go
pay
there and
bed.
Pay for beds
mm-hmm.
to get people a good night's sleep.
Absolutely.
I never would have thought that because...
good night's sleep and a shower.
And a shower.
A shower is a big deal
right.
if you're homeless.
Right.
You know?
But the big thing of helping the homeless population out is stopping the people who are on the brink of homeless right now.
Absolutely.
A lot of people are on the brink of being homeless right now. And we have to figure out, people say affordable housing. What does that mean? Affordable is an opinionated word. If I'm a millionaire,
absolutely.
If you're a billionaire and I'm a millionaire, what's affordable to you isn't affordable to me.
Right.
So it's not affordable to we.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So we need to call it realistic home ownership.
Exactly.
And that realistic home ownership should go to where if the average person, and the, you look the numbers up, makes $62,000 a year, but like in North Las Vegas, which is deemed so-called the cheaper place to buy, you got to make $115,000 a year.
Oh,
it doesn't make sense. We have priced ourselves out of the market. So we have to have a real talk and conversation with ourselves because I don't see it going further.
Exactly. Exactly. And I want to double back on something
Please.
That you said about some people choosing to be homeless.
Yes.
One of the realities that you have to understand, especially in this area, we're by a military base, which means that a lot of retirees land here. Mm-hmm. And these veterans, many of them have served in foreign wars. Many, many of them, I don't think I know anybody who's been in the military that doesn't have some form of PTSD mm-hmm. from the experience. But many of these people have severe PTSD. And a fair number of those homeless out on the street, you know, people are walking by them and, you know, why doesn't that bum get a job? Because, you know, they look like you and me and they've got the sign that says, I'm a vet, mm-hmm. you know, help me. And they're like, well, if you're a vet, get a job, dude. You know, I work. A lot of these people are not candidates for employment because they have severe PTSD. They may have psychosis, you know, they may look fine and a lot of them will attempt to get a job. they go on a job, and then, you know, a month into the job, they start seeing Charlie. Guess what? They're a risk to everyone around them, and they're not going to be able to further function on that job. So, boom, they're back out on the streets. You say, well, you know, why are you on the street? A lot of them, you know, they're well-dressed. You know, they were in the military. They're used to being STRAC. Everything, you know, has to be in place, well-dressed and everything. They want that. But yet they refuse help getting into a place. The reason is, again, a lot of them have PTSD. Mm-hmm. And when you put a lot of people around them, guess what? They're triggered. Mm-hmm. So, you know, give our vets grace. And as Twix said, a lot of them are choosing to be homeless because it is the only thing that's tolerable to them that allows them to have a reasonable level of mental health, a reasonable level of comfort, maybe not happiness, but comfort in their life. So give them grace, give them respect. They earned it. Just because they're out there on the street does not mean they don't deserve to be respected. A lot of those people out on the streets are two-parent households with two jobs that can't afford to house their children.
Doctor, that hit home. My brother, a vet, he served in Desert Storms. My big brother was everything I wanted to be. My big brother, not saying I'm this, I'm just telling you what he is. My big brother was the coolest person I knew, the best dresser, you know, what do you say? Girls liked him, their moms liked him. He was a really, really good person, very smart, right? My brother was an electrician. He served in the war. When he came back, he suffered PTSD. In the 90s, we didn't say PTSD. We said tripping.
Yes.
We said, that man, prop,
that
tripping.
Tripping.
And what he did was, because he couldn't figure out how to adapt after being in war, what did he do? He went back to the neighborhood. And he got involved with other situations.
Right.
My brother got shot in the back, unsolved mystery, five times, right around the corner, left four sons behind, which we, you know, helped pretty much raise a few of them.
Right.
With that being said, a lot of our veterans, this is the problem. I think we think veterans are one-trick ponies. Oh, you're a veteran, you know war. No. They do so many things besides war. Iron worker, electricians, computers, IT, they do all these things. And the problem is, when they go to boot camp breaks them down to where it lets them know, okay, whatever you did, this is how you do it now. You wake up this way, you stand up this way, you clean your shoes this way, your bed is perfect. So now they are organized in life. And, when they become a Marine or Army, whatever they join, they know that their information helps them survive in
Absolutely.
War. Everything you do has to go to war somehow, right? Now, when you get out of the military, now you're back in America to where people's word isn't their word. You got to work a job to where your boss isn't giving you a raise. Where you're in the military, you did your job, you got paid what they say it's going to be. So technically, I want to give a shout out to everyone who's a vet who's dealing with this because you're not the one tripping. You came back out here after what you did for the country and you're used to organization. And now you're back in the country to where people don't say what they mean and mean what they say. And it's hard. And I had to understand that from my brother because my brother ended up being homeless and he had houses to stay at. He just mentally was just out. He would be gone for months. He would be gone for months. I found my brother was murdered on Saturday morning. I opened my door in my barbershop, sweeping up to get ready to open. I got a call from my mom's best friend because my mom could not call me. And she said, your brother just got murdered, right? And I've been dealing with that ever since. And because of that, I'm an advocate for it. Trying to explain from a little brother's aspect. I can never know what it is to be a veteran.
Right.
But I can explain from being a brother of a veteran who looked up to a veteran and how we have to look at them differently. You know, PTSD, PTSD. Nah, they're organized. And a lot of us aren't. So imagine growing up in one household your whole life being a certain way and then going to another household. That's what they're dealing with. It's not easy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what can we do to help our homeless here in Vegas and particularly in North Las Vegas?
First, have these conversations like this, but two, like I mentioned, we have to separate those who want to get in the workforce. Who wants to work, right? How can we get them to work? We have so many nonprofits, and to me, some nonprofits are not effective at all. But the nonprofits who are effective, okay, let's do it to where, okay, the city gives nonprofits all these grants to help the community out, right? So when these cities give these nonprofits grants, why can't these cities say, hey, we need some nonprofits to go and figure out who could be in the job market? That's what we can get people back to working.
Mm-hmm. Common sense.
Common sense.
Common sense. Excellent. Well, I'm going to do something a little bit different that we haven't done before. We have a studio audience out here, and I'm going to open it up. If you have a question for Twix here, then, you know, please let's hear your questions. Again, you know, he is running for our city council, and I'm sure he would be happy to entertain them.
Yes.
So are there any questions out there in the audience?
Or comments.
Or comments.
What's the first thing you're going to do when you win?
I appreciate that. The very first thing I'm going to do when I win, after thanking God and thanking everyone who supported me, I want to do free haircuts for foster children on my first day.
Beautiful.
You know, I would love if I could do that actually at City Hall. That way these young children could see, you know what, this is the City Hall, and hopefully them seeing that image makes them want to think about being elected official, how they could make a change in their life. You know, that's the very first thing I want to do, is do that. Thank you.
Any further questions?
I have a question.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
My question is, there's a lot of businesses, because of the new rezoning and planning structure of Nevada now, a lot of the business owners are not very happy mm-hmm. with that, and being that now they have to pay a higher price for the licensing, and I've heard these issues because I'm a community activist.
Awesome. Yeah. So the question is how we help that out?
How would you be able to help these businesses with their new planning zoning
Thank
areas?
You. So one.
So the question is how do we help the new businesses with the new with the planning and zoning
and
because
business
we've
licensing.
Had these changes and
yes.
business licensing. So how do we help them?
Yes, it's a great question because that's actually something that's on my agenda. Me being a business owner and have multiple businesses. One thing we know that 70% of businesses close down their very first 2 years, and usually it's due to finance, right? So I believe in this. I believe that hopefully I can get the other council members on board to where if you're going to open your business up and your business license fee and all these fees you have to pay, if we could do it to where after you're in business so long, then you pay it.
That's actually
because
an
at the
excellent
end,
idea.
Right. If we start you off where you got to pay all these thousands of dollars to open your business up and now you're behind and you got to pay the landlord a first and last and get the insurance. You got to get the insurance. In deposit, it's a lot of money, mm-hmm. right? So if we could do it to where, okay, after you open for your first year, then it's due. And then it's due in just cycles to where you don't pay 100%. After the first year, you pay 25%. Then after a quarter, 3 years, 3 months later, then you pay another 25%. So in a year, you have time to pay all your license fees. Why? That gives you the opportunity to hire people. That gives you the opportunity to stay open and pay your power bill and pay all these bills for your businesses and pay for advertising and marketing. You know, and hopefully have a grant aside to go for marketing advertisement. Mm-hmm. All the city has to do is have a certain amount of money set for advertisement. And guess what? The advertisement companies can be local companies also. So now we're helping out. We're hitting two birds with one stone, technically. If you're able to open up a new restaurant, right, and we're letting you know, hey, we have $3,000 worth of advertising money for you for your business so you can grow. And that $3,000 is allocated to an advertiser in North Las Vegas, we have helped that business out, helped you out. And I think we have to start getting, coming up with new ideas to help small businesses. So that's one of my ideas. Another idea is incentives. Oklahoma for years had to where, if you are in the tech industry, they would give you $9,000 just to move there. Just to move there. Incentives. So in North Las Vegas, they have they finally made, a few years ago, downtown North Las Vegas. But there's not one sign up that says downtown North Las Vegas. I got bought out in that area. My barbershop was there, and I pretty much got, that's another story, but I got bought out. Long story short, right? With that being said, okay, if you want to get these new businesses in downtown North Las Vegas, let's have incentives for them. Don't just say it's downtown and come, no. We have this much money allocated for you. North Las Vegas is about to get $1 billion. Okay, for the budget. Now, a big portion of that is due to law enforcement and everybody else who, you know, is needed. But out of $1 billion, there's hundreds of thousands of dollars that could be allocated for the people of North Las Vegas. And I'm running because I understand math, I understand numbers, and I'm going to make sure it's allocated as much as possible.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. And thank you for being a community activist, too.
Thank you.
It's not a lot.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Any further questions for Twix?
I have a question for the audience.
Okay.
Have everyone voted yet?
I have.
Okay.
All right.
Good job. Good job.
We had nodding going.
I need you plus two. So you already voted. I need you to let two people know to vote. You know, they don't have to live in North Las Vegas. I mean, vote, period. I don't care if they're in another city.
Absolutely.
We need everyone to vote. And then let them know this. Hey, just Google the person up first. Because Google Siri.
Definitely.
Use
Definitely.
That. Everybody's platform's going to look incredible.
Yeah. And
everybody's website going to look incredible because that's their own resume. Nobody's resume says, I'm not good at what I do. So don't go to their campaign website.
Exactly.
Google them.
And don't use your friends. My friend said to vote for this candidate, and you know they got this piece of information off of the gossip line.
Right.
You know, you do your own research for the candidate. You
right.
know, that candidate, voting for that candidate is your responsibility to become an educated voter. So you're voting for the person you really want.
Yes.
Because your vote does count. And you want your vote to give you what you want, because otherwise you may end up voting for the candidate that's going to give you the exact opposite of what you want, because you listened to some knucklehead over here whose interest was not aligned with yours.
And all skin folk aren't kin folk.
Absolutely.
Let me say that again. All skin folk
Absolutely.
Aren't kin folk. You know, just because I'm a black man, don't vote because I'm black, because I haven't said a black issue yet, because black issues are American issues, period. Once, if we have two holes in the street, and one hole is a gallon deep, and one hole is a half a gallon deep, right? If we put a half a gallon of water, of concrete, in both those holes, the hole that's a gallon deep is still empty. Meaning what? Everybody driving will be bumpy.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning this, don't vote because of a person's complexion. You vote on their direction. And that's how you vote for the right person. A lot of people, if you're the first black, you're the first Latino, you're the first Asian American, a lot of the first aren't the best. Mm-hmm. Sometimes first are put in position to hold everyone back. So now when we go and glorify the first Asian,
Say
the
that
first
again.
Black, the first, after you, before you glorify them, how many of them put more of them in place after them? That determines
right.
it. And what did they do? If you're the first Filipino person to do something, great. But who did you put in place also? From the Philippines. Who'd you put in place who's a woman? Who'd you put in place who's Latino? Look that up. That's important. Because if you can't find anybody, you know they are gatekeepers to your people. Ooh.
Absolutely. Bravo.
Oh,
Well said.
Yeah.
Well said.
I'm here for the real deal. When I ran for mayor, I said I'd rather lose being real than win being fake. And I stand on that.
Standing
I'm a tailor.
For something.
My dad told us that. We tailors, we don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still a tailor, and we don't do that.
All right. All right. Well, the last question that I have,
go ahead.
You got to tell us why they call you Twix.
That's always the question too at the end. So, true story, when I was in junior high school, I was trying to be bad. I was trying to, at the time, that's when my brother got out of the military, and I was trying to copy him. So I was trying to be a knucklehead, you could say. When I went to high school, my freshman year of Cheyenne High School, long story short, I decided, thank God, with me and my friends, to change our life.
Yes.
When we decided that, we joined a positive youth group called the Sigma Beta Club. Now, it's like a fraternity, right? So in that high school fraternity, they name you a crazy nickname while you're so-called pledging. Pledging is illegal now, but it's hazy,
right? Mm-hmm.
So if you had a big nose, they call you nosy. If you had a big head, they call you heady monster, to give you an example, right? I knew that was the day they would give me the name. And how they would do it is they sit you down in the library in a chair and they walk around you saying crazy names until something sticks.
Uh-huh.
So because we knew that, I made sure my hair was cut. I've always been cutting hair. My clothes were good. And I was trying to ooze confidence eating a Twix candy bar because that's all I ate. I didn't even eat food. I ate candy all day. I was super thin, right? While they were saying these names, nothing was sticking. One of them said, is that all he eats? And then my friends, who was trying to change their life with me, start laughing. He's like, yeah, that's all he eats at lunch at Cheyenne. They said, you look like a Twix. You chocolate and skinny. Well, they said dark. They're like, you dark and thin. Right? They all blew up laughing. Yeah, you look like a Twix. You skinny and dark. So because of that, I'm the type of person, my father told us this. You will remain a king if you change your environment. You will remain a slave if the environment changes you. So
absolutely.
Because of that, I'm a narrative bender. I will never give anyone leverage over me on how you think about me because I control my narrative and my life and my family. Mm-hmm. So because of that, when they, thank you. So when they name me Twix, I'm like, yeah, I am Twix. I am chocolate and smooth. I am golden. That's me. You know? So I stuck with it. And I couldn't even get rid of Twix, even when I ran for mayor, because more people knew Twix than the name Robert Taylor.
Right.
And Twix is known in the community.
Right.
Right? So that's why even when you go vote for me on November 5th, if you haven't voted yet, in North Las Vegas, it'll say Robert Twix Taylor. You did.
Yes. And that is absolutely true, because when I talked to people and said, I'm going to have Robert Taylor on my show and he's running for city council, they said, who? I said, Twix. Oh, Twix. Everybody knew who Twix was.
I appreciate it.
All right. So, you know, I had to ask that question.
Oh, thank you for asking.
All right. Well, you know, again, this show is about health, and the health of the community is a major thing. You know, world health is a major thing.
Yes.
But in order to have world health, in order to have community health, the change has to begin with me.
Yes.
So I challenge each and every one of you to let that change begin with you. Become informed about the politics in your particular community. Find out what you can do to help your community.
Yes.
Find out how you can volunteer in your community.
Yes.
You know, reach one, teach one. Find out how you can support your youth in your community, because the youth are our future. And, you know, right now, the whole world is ill and needs a healing.
Yes.
And, you know, we're all old, rusty, crusty. We can change, but it's much harder to change us than it is to change the little ones, to feed them positive values, to give them positive direction, so that as they grow into the adults that we want to see.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, take the time to look and see where you fit in, get in where you fit in, but make a difference, be the change. I'm Dr. Cheryl Bryant Bruce, MD. My guest is Robert Twix Taylor, city councilman extraordinaire about to be, and get out there and vote for this man. Obviously, he has a platform. He is obviously committed, and we love his passion. We love your passion.
Thank you.
Love the passion.
Thank you.
So get out there and vote for him, and let's make a difference. Chatters That Matter, let's talk about it. Every Wednesday, Monday, 6:30 p.m., 6 o'clock p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And there's a new way that you can get there. You can go to the EMBC network, but the easiest way to find us is to go to my website. We've got a new website out there, www.thecelebritydoc.com. Scroll down to the bottom of the page and it will take you directly to Chatters That Matter. You can see the show that is currently airing, and you can also see past shows by scrolling through. That's www.thecelebritydoc.com. And I'm going to take just a second to toot my own horn.
Toot it.
I am a new business owner of two new businesses, and I want to have you all support them. Thank you. Thank you. The two businesses are Epic Savoir Faire Extra Virgin Olive Oil.
Mm.
And extra virgin olive oil is extremely important for its health benefits as an anti-inflammatory, antioxidants. So I will be bringing you more information about ESF Evo. And you will be able to, we're still putting that up on the site, but you will be able to purchase it directly through thecelebritydoc.com. The other business that I'm really excited about, and for all of you that are listening that are in the Vegas community, and you know of an amazing woman who is an entrepreneur, is a CEO, is a leader in the community, I am the founding president of Ms. Corporate America Nevada chapter. So Ms. Corporate America is now in Nevada. And will be centered right here in Las Vegas proper. So if you know of a woman who you think would make an amazing representation as a female leader, then point her in our direction, because we are looking for candidates. The first competition is March 15th and 16th of 2025. So that's just a few months down the road. So we're looking for ladies to participate who are interested in becoming Miss Corporate America. We're also looking for women and men who are interested in helping us to put on the best Miss Corporate America competition in the nation.
Awesome.
So, you know, we need auditors, we need judges, we need speaking coaches, walking coaches, we need other entrepreneurs who can teach business leadership, because part of the program is to give these ladies tools that they can use to elevate businesses, whether they're just starting in businesses or they've been seasoned in businesses. We also want to give them connections and make this a huge networking opportunity. So if you have any of those skills that you'd like to bring to the Miss Corporate America competition Nevada, then please reach out to me. You can get to us for that particular reason by going to nevada.mscorporateamerica. And Ms. Corporate America is MS Corporate America. There is no period or anything else like that in there. It's nevada.mscorporateamerica. There will be information. There will be ways that you can sign up. There will be ways that you can get an email to me, and I can get back to you with more information about it. So that's the Ms. Corporate America Nevada. And 2025 is going to be a big year for us. So thank you for being here and allowing us to share this show with you. And as always, I will share with you as we go out. Our mantra is health is wealth. You are your greatest asset. Invest in yourself. Thank you for joining us, Twix.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing this experience with us.
Chatters that matter!